You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The Eagles are at the podium, and we've got yet another Howie Roseman press conference for you. First off, I'm your host, Michael Kist. Follow my work at BleedingGreenNation.com. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. This is all brought to you by Bleeding Green Nation and SB Nation. And today we have the last of the 2019 NFL Draft press conferences from the Eagles. We've been releasing these out over the last week, and this one covers the entirety of the draft after day three, the final day of drafting. Joe Douglas is there as well to talk about some of the philosophy behind the Eagles strategy, so some good insight on this one. A couple notes before we continue. The first one is that the next episode to show up on your feed will be my chat with Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. We mainly talk about his thoughts on the first three selections, Andre Dillard, Miles Sanders, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and also how PFF graded them out entering into the draft. It's a good one, so look out for it. Also, just after BGN Radio 50 with John Solness and Brandon Lee Gouten dropped on Friday, the Eagles signed a linebacker in Zach Brown after his departure from the Redskins. It's a one-year, $3 million deal for the 29-year-old, who is PFF's third highest graded off-ball linebacker last year. Gives the Eagles some great veteran depth and a potential starter, so Howie fills another role to make the team better. All right, let's get back to how Howie and company made the Eagles better in the draft by going to the podium.
Thank you guys for being here. I know it's Saturday night. It's a pain to be here this late,
and
hopefully it'll be the last time you guys are here for a long time on a weekend to get some time away. Really great weekend for the Philadelphia Eagles, for our organization. Just the way everyone works together, everyone in the organization coming together, coaches, scouts, front office staff, administrative staff. It's fun to watch. And when we get everyone in the draft room and Jeffrey speaks to all of us, it's fun to look, because we talk about picking the players, but we pick all the people that we work with. And it really becomes a family atmosphere here, and it's a good place to work. So we had a fun weekend. Obviously, a lot of things went on. Whenever you have an experience like this, there are a lot of things that you look at and maybe you wanted to do. There are a lot of things that maybe you didn't expect to happen that come through. So it's a fun weekend, but at the same time, we still know that we don't play a game till September. And so we're going to continue to try to improve the roster. Our work is not done. We still have other periods to try to acquire players. But we are very, very happy about what we did this weekend. So it's a great testament to all the people in this building.
You guys drafted 4 out of 5 picks for offensive players. Was that just how the board played out? Was that a concerted thing you wanted to address the offense in this draft? Or?
No, it definitely wasn't a concerted thought process. We really went into this draft trying to stick to our board, and we did the same thing even after the draft. We went through our front board and tried to get as many guys as we could after the draft and recruit them. But we also we did say, and I regretted it right after saying it, about the historic defensive line class, and thankfully all of you have reminded me countless times over the weekend. You guys are so forgiving. And but I think really when you look at it and where guys went, it was. And what it did for us was it pushed some guys down to us that maybe in a normal year on the offensive side of the ball wouldn't be able to get to our pick. So we tried to take advantage of those opportunities. And then also when you look at today, a guy like Sharif, we think in a normal draft, that guy goes yesterday. And so because so many teams took defensive linemen, we had an opportunity to get a young pass rusher that we think we can work with and develop and has some tools in his body. So I think it's kind of, the catch-22 on those situations, that it pushed some offensive players to us. But the flip side is today we had an opportunity to get a guy that we liked.
You talked last year about how difficult it sort of is for the scouts to go through the whole process and only get to pick 5 guys again this year. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the good news is they were under the illusion we were going to make more picks when they got here this week, as opposed to last year when Joe wrote on his big board, you know, this is Scouts draft day. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, we look at it like, you know, that end of the sixth round pick, that's really when a lot of guys that we would pick in the sixth round are guys that we're recruiting as free agents. So the fourth round pick, that was a hard one to sit through. But hopefully we got a starting left tackle for a long time. And that's a hard position to find. And you look at where offensive linemen go in this draft, and sometimes you're sitting there and you're in the third round and got offensive linemen that you have on the third day are getting taken because they're hard to find. They're not letting many people on this earth who have the kind of athleticism that the guy we got had. So those things are hard to find. So, you know, I think we really try to utilize the undrafted process as, you know, Jeffrey likes to say it's the 8th through 20th round and we're on the clock. So we try to do that because we do want to get young guys. But again, our job is to get as many good players as possible, try to get as many difference makers as possible. And we think we got some of those this weekend.
You know, Joe, what was that like for you to only get to get 5 guys?
Well, just to clarify, last year for Friday we had penciled in staff golf outing.
Yes.
Yeah, so we traded back into the second. We missed that golf day, but we got a heck of a player. No, I mean you understand. You know, there's highs and lows and ebbs and flows of the draft, and you know you're prepared for anything, and you know our scouts are prepared and ready for any scenario, and they were great all week. And to touch on what Howie said, I mean the chemistry we have with all the departments, and you know the scouts and the coaches working together, and you know working with analytics and football ops. I mean, there's a lot of good chemistry going on.
You didn't think this class ended up maybe not being historic, or were you regretting saying it? If I would have told you before the draft that you wouldn't have gotten a defensive lineman in those first 3 picks, would you have been surprised?
I would have been more surprised if you told me we didn't get a lineman in the first 3 picks. And I think that there was that distinction, you know, as we went through the scenarios over the last couple of weeks. We did go through scenarios where it wasn't a defensive lineman, but at some point in the first couple of rounds, an offensive lineman would fall to us. So, you know, both sides of the ball are important to us, and we were going to make sure that happened. But, you know, I don't think that we thought that Miles Sanders would be there, pick 53, right or wrong. You know, the receivers kind of fell in a different order than we thought. And then, again, coming to today and being at the end of the fourth round and sitting there, and, you know, all of us, it was hard to sit there. It's hard to sit there at the beginning of days and wait for all those picks. And to be able to get a pass rusher that we think has tools in his body to develop, we're excited about that. You know, I think we reached our Penn State quota.
Why did you make the trade at the end of the draft there for Hassan?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've been talking. Obviously, we all have a great relationship with the Colts organization and their head coach and their general manager and their scouting staff. And he's a guy that we've been talking to for a long time with them. And it came at the end of the 7th round. And we have been talking about trying to find a fit. And they had kind of a player they wanted, and we're continuing to look for guys who can help us up front. And we think this guy fits our scheme. We think he's got a chance to develop into a good player for us. He's young. He's 24 years old. We have guys on our staff that were in Indy and drafted him. We have guys on our staff that were with him in Indianapolis. So we feel like we know the player. He's still young, and so it gives him an opportunity to come here and get a second chance. And we're excited about that move.
The D-line and starting back in March, how you've changed everything around. Just as you look at that group, tackles and defensive ends, can you just talk about that?
Yeah, first, you know, it starts with some of the guys that we got in free agency. What happened?
He likes to toss around with Dave.
You were making
I love it. I talk that way too. I have to put my hands in my pocket.
Now I'm good. So, sorry, Dan.
How much has changed on the D-line?
Yeah, I think that the first order of business was to bring back BG. You know, just what BG brings to us on and off the field was such a huge move for our football team. Bring back Vinny at defensive end. And then Deshaun Hall is a guy that we got last year, was a third-round pick, and he's really taken a step in the offseason here just with his body. You know, obviously we can't see him out on the field. Josh Sweat, we knew that him having a full offseason and coming back was something that he really needed to continue to develop. Joe Osman's a guy that, again, when you look at the transition he's made with his body just in the offseason, I know a lot of the coaching staff is excited to see him in his second year. So you get those guys at defensive end, then you add the guy we get today, and it's a good mix of veterans and young players, and obviously DB coming back, our first round pick, who we're really excited about. And then you come into defensive tackle, and maybe a week ago looking at that position and having some concern, quite frankly, about that position and the depth. And, you know, obviously we're really excited about Malik, and you see his leadership and what he's going to add to the team with Fletch and Trayvon taking a step up, and hopefully Bruce. But just bringing Timmy back and what Timmy means to our team, and he looks good, and hopefully have a really good, healthy year out of Timmy, and then adding Hassan, and then we got a couple of guys hopefully after the draft that can add to that depth. So we like our defensive line. Like that's gonna be the start of something. And before we came up here, we were looking at our depth chart, and we're looking at our O line and D line, and we're going, yeah, those are good spots.
It's been a few years for you since you could talk about a quarterback up here. What stood out to you personally about Clayton Dorsey?
You know, Clayton, obviously my first opportunity to see him was at the Combine this year, and sat down and had a chance to interview him and talk with him. And he came off, he was very impressive, number one, Northwestern kid. And, you know, what I like about him, obviously, is, you know, he three out of the last 4 years, he's a bowl, you know, taking his team to a bowl, and he's won those games, and he's got all the passing records there at Northwestern. And, you know, this kid's tough, and he fits exactly what we look for in a quarterback. You know, arm strength, decision making, the ability to extend plays, and he's going to fit really well with that room and with Carson and Nate, and it's going to be a really fun spring. And in summer and leading up into training camp, to just see all those guys really how they come together in that room and gel, and it's a good opportunity for him.
I think the two things about Clayton, just to add, I mean, you know, this is a guy our scouts and Joe did a great job of putting on our radar early, but he's in his second year back from his ACL, and you know, I think all of us can speak when you get like a text message, and you get them after every pick from people around the league, but. Just hearing from other head coaches and guys who kind of, you know, this guy kind of got pushed down a little bit. So we were excited to get him and to have a young quarterback to work with.
You obviously didn't draft a safety or a linebacker. Just talk about the young talent you have at those positions and how you like the groups you have.
Yeah, I think it's fair to kind of look at those two groups and say probably something that we would have liked to have done. There were a couple of times in the draft where we were deciding between a couple of guys. And again, we're going to be consistent, right or wrong. When we have the chance to draft a lineman or another position, we're going to focus on the lineman. So we had a couple of those opportunities where maybe we could have gone in a different direction, and we decided to do that. But, you know, I think when we sit back down and look at it, maybe that was an area that we thought we'd address, but you can't go into a draft and just say you're going to address it. We need some of our young guys to take a step up at both those spots. They've been here. We're hopeful that that's the case. And again, you know, talent acquisition season has not ended. We have a long way to go before we play a game, and then we have a long way to go before the trade deadline. And we're not going on vacation now. You know, we're going to continue to try to do whatever we can to support Coach and his staff, and we take that part of it seriously.
You heard the man. Talent acquisition season has not ended, and this press conference has not ended either. We just need to pay some bills. We'll be back with more At the Podium after this quick word.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Doug, you have a young franchise quarterback and an offensive head coach. Does it tip the priority scales at all as far as roster building is concerned?
You know, do we talk about the offense a lot? We do. But I think it's just we stick to our board. You know, at the end of the day, we didn't reach on any offensive players here. And we do definitely want to support our quarterback and make sure that he's got the right line around, the right skill position guys around him. But we also know the defense can help him. So this was a process that we felt like we did address the defense in free agency. When we look at it at the safety position, you know, we signed Sendejo in free agency. We brought Rodney back. At linebacker, we are excited about LJ Fort and what he can add to our team. So we felt like, and obviously we talked about the defense line, so we do feel like we've addressed that somewhat in free agency, probably more than the offense side. Am I missing anyone in free agency when we talked about this?
On defense?
Yeah.
Vinny.
Vinny, we talked about defensive line, right.
Rob Warlow.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you.
Doug, along those same lines, when you look at the offensive side of the ball, you use your first three picks there, you got Deshaun, Jordan Howard. What do you feel like you're going to be able to do now that maybe you weren't sure you could do last year? Flexibility, or what are you most excited about with this group?
I'm looking forward to Monday, and that's all I'm focused on. It's our opportunity phase two to be on the field with our guys, and this is where we begin to really build the chemistry of our offense and defense and special teams. You know, I'm excited about the players we've acquired. Howie, Joe, their guys have done a great job of going out and finding these guys for us and bringing them. And we always talk about that every offseason. You know, we're going to acquire free agents that are going to help us now. And these guys are all going to help us now. You know, I'm just excited for these next couple of weeks to get into phase two and phase three. And again, like I said, this is where we get to build, I think, that chemistry in all three phases and see kind of where we're at. And then in a couple of weeks with the rookie minicamp coming up, to get our rookies in here and then get them sort of indoctrinated with the veteran players. And so I'm just excited, looking forward one day at a time. It's going to always stay one day at a time. And we'll just build right in through training camp and get ready for the regular season.
You're so consistent with that. You know, it's like
how are you?
Did you also kind of look at like the guys you drafted, especially like the first three picks, as being essential to replacing, you know, guys on the roster who, you know, either are veterans, you know, might have expensive contracts coming up and everything like that? I mean, how much of a factor was all that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we look at the first pick as something that's really hard to find. You know, it's an offensive line deficient league. It's hard to find those guys, and we just thought it was a great opportunity. You know, when we look at the other two spots, we've been looking for a runner like Miles for a couple years, and for him to be there, we're really excited about his potential. Obviously, he's a rookie player. He's got to come in and work hard and earn his way. And then I think with JJ, he was another just staff favorite, just really fits in. We're not trying to run anyone off the team. We're trying to keep as many of our good players as we can for as long as we can. So, you know, to sit here and say that, hey, we have this grand plan where, you know, this guy's going to be off the team in a year, or this guy's going to be off the team in 2 years. By the same token, you know, we do have a young quarterback, and We do have now more guys that are under contract in 2021 and 2022, so that helps us not only on offense but on defense. So all those things go into play, and unfortunately for us, we can't just focus on 2019. So we got to keep our eye on the ball, and when we're in the third day of the draft and talking about trading future picks, that's when that kind of comes into play.
You mentioned that you were.
Let's get Joe. He's had a great
question. I'm for Joe.
Good, Zach.
You have this staff, obviously, that's been on the road all year. As you talk to them, what stands out about this class in particular? What is kind of defining about this class?
Wow, that's a great question, Zach. I mean, I think we get together at several points during this week, specifically with the scouts, and you know, we ask them, we ask a lot of them, right? We ask that they're on the road a long time. They're, you know, they do a great job going from town to town and getting as much information as possible. And there's several points during the year we challenge them. This week we challenge them a lot, and we say, tell us the guys that you're most excited about. We're going to try to get as many of those guys as possible. And I can tell you that every single guy that we drafted, there were multiple guys that would put their name on that card and just say, this guy's an Eagle. This guy fits us. So, you know, this is a high character class, and it's a group of playmakers. And, you know, I'm so proud of the job that our scouts did and the way that we work together with the coaching staff.
You said that you're pretty optimistic. I mean, you feel pretty good about where the D-line stands, but you are losing a lot of production in Michael Bennett. It looks like most likely Chris Long will be back too. You mentioned DB. How's he look coming back, and what, you know, you guys obviously first round pick, you have a lot of invested in him. What's he have to do to, obviously in his third year, to kind of reward you guys on the investment you made in him?
Yeah, I'd say every time he's on the field, he's rewarding our investment in him. We have a lot of confidence in him as a player, and he's a huge part of our football team. He's shown it. This isn't a guy that's going to his third year and we haven't seen what he's done. And we've seen what he's done in big games. We saw what he was doing last year before he got hurt. And we expect him to come in and be a huge part of our team.
And last one, please.
I brought up the Penn State quota and jokingly, but as coaches, you having Burke and Groh at Penn State for their pro day and then maybe interacting with them at the local day, how much is that one-on-one interaction play into your decision-making from a coaching standpoint?
You know, I wouldn't say it goes into the actual decision-making. I would say this, that it gives us more information. It gives us another resource that we can use when we do pull the trigger on a certain player. And that's valuable. You know, the scouts go in there and they do a lot of the preliminary work for us, and then a coach goes in there after that and has a chance to sit down one-on-one or work him out or be at a pro day. And that's just another set of eyeballs on that particular player. It has nothing to do with, you know, because they're in our backyard, so to speak, that makes any difference one way or the other.
I just, well, one last thing, you know, I think that you guys saw, I don't know the last time you guys were in the cafeteria, but I know you saw like the resources we give to our players in the cafeteria. We got a new draft room, you know, like this whole weekend, what Jeffrey gives all of us, I mean, it's pretty special. And we have a lot of guys who've come to our organization from different places, and some people come back from different places, and it's just, you know, you don't take it for granted. It's just, it's pretty cool. We have all the resources we need at our disposal to win games. So thank him too. Thanks.
BGN. Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10, by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything, and now everything is data. Which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? with SaaS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.